Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like the Dapper Don,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a million bucks,
buying
things in its cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Everybody, you are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Man, oh man, oh man. I thank God for it. I thank God for all he's done for me. For all the little things that I oftentimes fail to thank him for, that I take for granted for. Breathing. You know, laughing. The fact that I can enjoy myself. Man, I thank God for all of that. All of those small things that I forget to think that are so huge. I thank God for that. Yeah, it ain't just the radio show, it's that. But the radio show is the trigger for me. It kind of just kicks it all in for me. I was talking the other day to a buddy of mine. And, you know, I have several crazy friends because I'm one of them to them. I think so, too. I think they think I'm crazy. So, you know, we all kind of got about the same, not the same demeanor, but we share some things in common. You know, I think that's what makes us friends. You know, the majority of my friends are with women, married, you know, kids, you know, mostly all of them are settled, you know. I got a couple partners that's still out there a little bit, you know, but for the most part, they all pretty much settled guys, you know. And I was talking to one of them the other day. I think it was Friday, Saturday one. And we had gotten to this conversation about God and in the conversation, we had narrowed it down and we were talking about changing the way we are as people. You know, that everybody has to change. You know, nothing stays the same. Everybody changes. And a lot of these changes can be for the good. And a lot of them are just, they just come with time. You know, sometimes it's aging that changes us. But no matter how old you get, you still have the ability to improve as a person. We were talking about everybody can change and everybody has the right to reinvent themselves as they get older. And I equated it to jumping out of an airplane. You know, there are some people, man, who get to a certain point in their life and they jump from the airplane is now almost a stunt of some kind. It's almost like they life didn't got out of control. You ever seen somebody jump out of an airplane and the parachute don't open and they life start, and it seems like they start spinning and tumbling and they can't get it together? And I've seen some mid-air rescues before, but then there are times when, you know, when it hasn't worked. You know, you jump out that airplane, and at first it's fun. I've never skydived before, but I would imagine when you first jump out of an airplane that they, people describe it as a sense of being free, and it's exhilarating when you first jump out the plane. But if you pull that cord and nothing happens, I've never happened to me, but I can only imagine the panic that's got to set in, because no matter how fun it was a moment ago, the flying over to one another, the holding hands in the air, the breeze, the descent, the feeling of all of a sudden, if you reach for that cord and it's not there, you're suddenly spinning out of control. You're going way too fast. You're tumbling. It's not fun anymore. You're in a panic-stricken mode. And that's what happens in a lot of people's lives. When you first start your life, you jump out the plane, you free, you young. You ain't got nothing to worry about. There's no sense of immortality. You just jumping out the plane, you doing what you want to do, you free falling. But then you get to a certain point in your life when you go, okay, I'm going to pull the cord now. And pulling the cord is an important thing, because here's the analogy my friend gave me. He said, man, use your mind like a parachute. It works better when it's open. He said, use your mind like a parachute. It works better when it's open. Well, see, what happens with a lot of people is they in life, they jump out the plane. And they having this free fall. And it's fun for now. But they get to a certain point in their life where they got themselves in a situation, or they've had a little bit too much fun, a little bit too long, or, you know, they wasn't open to nothing and they just did what they wanted to do, or they started getting involved with drugs or drinking or started running with the wrong people. So you jump out the plane, at first you free fall and it's fun. But then after a minute, man, something happens and they realize, whoa, and they reach for their cord and the cord don't work. Well, now you're in a panic-stricken situation. And my suggestion and what I've learned from the analogy that my friend shared with me is that we all, the sooner we can open our mind to God, the sooner we can develop that relationship with Him. It's like pulling the cord and opening a parachute. If you open up your mind to God, God is like a parachute. You know, God can slow your descent. God can turn this out of control free fall into a nice ride for you. See, that's what happened to me. I was spinning out of control. I had gotten myself into a point, man, where I wasn't doing real good. Oh, y'all would look at me and think, man, Stevie, man, no. I wasn't doing real good. I had spun out of control. I was in a free fall and I reached for the cord, but I was so far away, the cord didn't open. Then I went to Him and I pulled the cord. When I went to God, I pulled the cord and it opened, and He slowed my descent. And this is what I just believe. I don't believe now that I age as fast as I was aging, because I got that parachute open now. You know, I take better care of myself eating. I work out more now. You know, I'm not out of control. I have a direction now. That wind then got up under that parachute a little bit, you know, and now I'm going, you know, I'm still getting older, you know, so, but the descent is so slow now, I'm able to enjoy the ride. I'm guiding my parachute over. Sometimes we go over to a vacation spot over here. We float back over to a, but, you know, I'm still getting old. I'm still going down. But the descent, because I've opened my mind to God, the parachute has slowed my descent. And now I'm rocking back and forth, but I ain't spinning out of control no more. You know, I'm able to enjoy the view now. You know, when you jump out that plane and you pull that cord and it don't work, you ain't looking at the view no more. You thinking of only one thing. How can I slow this down? Well, now I'm able to enjoy the view. I'm able to see all the beautiful things on the horizon that God has for me. I'm able to see all the beautiful things around me that he's provided for me over these years because I've slowed my descent. I use my mind like a parachute. It works better when it's open. Open your mind to God and so you can see the view, so you can slow the descent, so you can stop the out of control free fall that you've been on, that you can get your life together and see everything out on the horizon. You know, it turned out to be a very true statement. Your mind, if you use it like a parachute, it works better when it's open, y'all.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your undivided attention, please?
Hey, Steve, have your attention.
He
kind of
had a last word.
Man, just always got to add something.
I'm just helping.
You know, they used to be over there repeating each other all the time. I go, man, why
Steve,
they repeat each other
attention.
Like that?
See?
Just all of, I'm just, okay.
Just an additive. You're like a preservative on food. You just won't let it digest. Come to work as infrequent as he do, but when he get there, he try to make up.
Did you not know this before you hired
no,
him?
No, I didn't.
You guys have been friends for 100 years.
Shirley. I'm sorry, but I didn't. How was I supposed to know?
I'm sick of this. Everything is a surprise to you now.
A complete and utter shock. Dismay. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Kyle Pharrell.
Good morning, Steve.
Crazy, man.
Just in honor of him being off. Junior!
Junior!
Yeah.
He'll be back soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's still here.
Yes, he is. Thank
God,
you.
Oh, man. He just off.
Stop with the Texas, please.
Facebook, man.
Man, y'all, man, get y'all information right.
Oh, I heard.
J. Anthony Brown.
Oh, I can talk now. Now I can talk.
Also with by Tommy.
Yay, yay.
Oh, I can talk now who you spoken to.
Bye.
Oh, that's funny, Steve. You're getting on your nerves.
Man. Steve needs your attention, please. Don't need nobody to ask me.
Steve, we'll be talking now.
You know, he didn't get to talk a lot.
Coworker
you gotta,
at your
you know
job.
You got to understand
gets
it.
I won't be talking. Yet. Steve will be talking.
Tommy.
He didn't get to talk, y'all. He didn't get to talk. So he just can't believe he talked.
I didn't get to talk that much over there. You know, I've been here a year, Steve. It's been a year, man.
What?
Yes.
We know.
Yeah, a year. Yeah. Been a year.
Feels like longer.
Been here a year.
Been here a year. Still going on boat ride. That's all right.
I wasn't on the boat, man.
Oh, you was on the boat.
No, Tommy busted you on that boat, okay?
You was gone the whole week.
Steve, I wasn't on the boat, man. I don't care what time he said.
What a coinkydink that it was the same time as a certain cruise.
But what about this? Jay talking about it's his anniversary. We don't care. Nobody cares.
But you know, man, see, I wouldn't
brush right by it.
Like if Jay went on the boat, I wouldn't say nothing. Now, he's not like that. Mm-mm. You can't be affiliated. You can't say nothing to me.
Well, I got that
we
part.
We are two black men. Yeah. But hold up.
In the same fraternity.
In the same frat.
Okay.
That
you
right
got
there.
Your own show, so.
Yeah.
Show.
You got eight shows.
There's still such a thing as jealousy, hate. You know, there's still that thing. So.
And two light skins. I thought light skin got a guy on.
Hey, first of all, let me explain something to you. I'm not his level light.
he beige.
You light up a little bit off.
And back. You got a darker spirit. You really do.
All right, listen, guys. Coming up, we'll do something funny. And this is crazy. What older men do to attract younger women.
We got the rules, right?
That's what we'll talk about.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be back at 32 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time for something funny, guys. So Steve, Jay Anthony Brown, and Tommy.
And Steve.
Steve, of course. Mm-hmm. And I said his name first. You're here to tell us what older men can do to attract younger women.
I will read the rules, Steve. You and Tommy will add on. Number one. Number one. Stop walking around with a Bluetooth in your ear.
Yeah. Tommy. That's so not sexy.
That's me. Tommy, I ain't gonna lie, that's
Tommy has a Bluetooth in his ear all the time, trying to look tech savvy.
But he's had it since he was 30.
But
I ain't gonna lie, that's me. I ain't
gonna lie, that's it me. Don't even have the cushion on it.
I didn't know that was old looking. That's old.
It's not sexy.
It's not. Steve, you finished? You finished?
Yeah, and he need to be finished.
All right, here we go.
What I've discovered is most of these finna be about time.
You know what? You be about right.
You know what? I ain't seen it, but let's go. Let's go.
If you have an old school headset, the one that goes across your head where you look like an air traffic controller, get rid of it, okay?
That's what I wear at the house.
I know, Tommy. All these is about you.
What's wrong with that? That's what you see. That's right.
Steve, you're right again, as usual.
But it don't look like no doggone air trap. I'm not landing no plane.
Tommy,
why do you have it on, Tommy?
That's so I can move around the house with both hands and do stuff.
And because
I asked for that for Christmas.
And you need both hands because they small.
Don't wear long jackets and wide-ass pants. Please, stop. Stop it. Stop it.
Jay,
my limo driver this weekend. Steve, you know what this is right here? I said, regrettably, I do. This one of those suits, man. I bought this suit when they first came out.
It looked like skirts.
And you only five.
They look like skirts.
But Jay got some long jackets, though.
I was going to say, Jay.
Oh, well,
I can talk about myself.
And wide leg pants.
Number three is you, Jay.
Oh, Jay.
One and two is Tommy, but three is definitely
you. I got one to add for Jay.
Okay, get rid of your fanny pack. Please, please, please. All right? These are things that old men need to stop doing to attract younger women. All right, get rid of your fanny pack if you got
you
one.
You need to do that, especially at amusement park or anywhere else. We know you somebody, Daddy. What you over here talking
to? What's in that? What do you have?
I think
you
this need is another Jay one right here. Okay. What's in there, Jay?
You got your medication. you got your lip balm in there. You got your battery charger. You got to have that in there. Okay. All right, here we go, Steve. Here we go. Don't mix jogging suits together.
Oh, Tommy. This is Tommy.
Sweatpants.
No, I haven't.
Underarm.
No.
Tommy.
Converse. Oh, don't mix them up. Damn.
Tommy.
Now, look, let me say this.
Tommy.
If the Adidas pants is in the wash, and I got on a nice Nike top, and the only thing left is the Under Armour, I'm sorry. It's Under Armour and Nike. We got to go.
It's Under Nike, right?
Under Nike, Daddy.
All right, this is very important right here, Steve. Things old men need to stop doing to attract young women. Never let them see all your medication, please.
What if they open up that drawer, though?
What is this?
You're going to see
what is
something.
It's all three of you guys.
What is this? Man, I'm on some of the supplements, man.
What you taking this for?
Hey, let me tell you something. When they hand me my pills, I'm mad at them. You're going to take all them at once? I got to do this five times a day.
Okay. You ever seen an old man's nightstand, though?
Oh, my God. It's loaded. Sprays and pills.
You ever took the wrong pill?
Yes, I have. Whoa. Yeah,
what do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Steve?
You take the wrong pill.
Prescription bottles all look the same. Yeah. You ain't got your glasses.
Yeah.
You're going to take the wrong thing.
That's I didn't hear my beard looking like a tent.
Yeah.
I took the wrong one.
Yeah, I thought I was taking a sleeping aid. You done took a Viagra. You just laying up there.
This is crazy, guys.
And you by yourself.
You just laying up there by yourself just wrong.
You look like like a tent.
I don't feel like this.
Hope I don't die and they find me like this.
You guys, really?
All right, here we go. These are things old men need to stop doing to attract younger women. All right, here's the one. Okay. Here's a good one. Duct tape can't fix every damn thing.
But it's pretty damn close.
In your car. Stop duct taping your tail light.
When they start making that duct tape in black, boy, I thought we had a ride. You hear me?
Stop referring to everybody as sport, scooter, champ, little man, baby girl, girlfriend, sweetie, two-piece, little bit. That's not their name. Shout it.
But baby girl is, I like baby girl.
Okay, then you're number
See,
eight.
Right there. Yeah. Right there. I like baby girl. Yeah. I can't stop doing that. Yeah,
I
that's
can't
why,
quit calling
why we
baby girl.
All
right, things old men need to do to stop to attract younger women. Here we go. Here's another one. Stop sucking your teeth.
Oh, that's Steve.
Stop it.
Oh, that's
Steve. Stop. Please.
Now, dog, you know you do that, though.
I'm doing it
you
now.
You in public.
I'm doing it now. I want you to feel my disgust, but be attracted to it.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Steve, that is so you.
You damn right, that's me. I want you to think it's sexy.
The last
he
one.
He still take a straw out the broom and pick it.
Nah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
That's what a broom is.
Last one, quick.
All right, hurry up.
When you approach a younger woman, have some money.
My favorite. That's all they want.
Tommy always buying the girls dinner.
That's all they want.
Hey, you got money. You can pick your teeth, wear a fanny pack, do whatever you want to do.
Love that list. I saw you guys all over that list. Okay, coming up next, it's the nephew, the king of pranks with Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up, the nephew, king of pranks with a prank phone call.
You ain't married.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Tommy, can I ask you a question, man?
Yeah.
When you introduce your pranks, are you angry?
No, I'm in prank mode, huh?
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, that's prank mode.
That's
all
face.
It is.
Yeah.
Here it is. You ain't married.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Brian.
Yeah, this is he.
How you doing, Brian? My name is Daniel. I wanted to give you a call today. You got a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, you're Brian, Brian, right? You're married to Althea?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, that's me. That's my wife, yeah.
Okay. Got a question for you. How long have you guys been married?
Going on 9 years now. We've been married. Now, who is this?
My name is Daniel. Were you guys married at Greater New Missionary Baptist Church?
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, that's the name of that church. Yeah, Greater New by 9 years. Yeah, that's right. Why? What's going on? What you asking me all these questions for?
Okay. Do you remember the minister that officiated your actual wedding ceremony?
Yeah, that was Reverend.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the right person. I wanted to make sure I had the right person, Brian. So I'm sorry if it seemed a little weird to you. Here's what's going on. We've just come up with a new discovery. A lot of information that Reverend, none of his credentials are true. Everything is false. He's not a minister at all. He never was a minister. And every single wedding ceremony that he officiated is basically null and void. So, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you and Althea, even though you think you've been married for 9 years, you guys are not married at all.
No. Doc, you got to have the wrong person. Because me and Althea, we got married about 9 years ago, and Reverend, he the
preacher. What I'm telling you is, He never was ordained. He's never been an ordained minister. He's not a minister at all. So when he performed this ceremony, your wedding ceremony, he had no right to be doing that. You guys are not married. You know, you guys have been living in sin for 9 years.
Hold on, Doc. Let me tell you something. I ain't been living in no sin. Me and my wife, we have been married for 9 years, and that man, he's a preacher. I'm telling you, he's a preacher. I heard him preach last Sunday.
Sir, as of today, He has no right to be in anybody's pulpit. He has no right to be officiating, whether it's weddings or funerals, no matter what it is, christenings for children. He's not allowed to do that, and we have officially stopped him from doing anything serving under as being a pastor or a minister. We have stopped that. But what I want you to know is that you have been living in sin, and you don't. We want to try and get you guys married as soon as possible, so you're not living in sin.
Oh no, Doc, I ain't been living in no sin. I have been married for 9 years. This woman, she has been taking care of me and my kids for the past nine years.
Wait a minute. You guys have children?
Yeah, we got two kids, two beautiful kids.
Okay, then those kids are bastards.
Bastards? Hold on. Let me tell you something. My kids ain't no bastards. What about your kids? Your kids are bastards?
No, sir. My kids were born in wedlock. Your kids have been born out of wedlock.
I'm telling you, that man did my service, and he is a preacher. He's a man after God's own heart himself. He done everything that he could for me and my family. He is a preacher.
Sir, I know it's hard for you to swallow the truth, but I want you to know, and I need you to be able to tell Althea that you guys are not married, not as of right now.
No. Okay, so hold on. Now, back in the olden days, but before all these colleges and stuff came about, you telling me that them men back in the old days, that they wasn't no preachers, that they wasn't men after the cloth? Is that what you're saying to me?
What are you getting at, sir?
What I'm trying to say is, back in the olden days, back in the 20s and 30s, they didn't have all these colleges and all these degrees and stuff like these new preachers got these days. That man, now, he was from back then, and God called them, and that's what they went on to. And all them people that they married back then, they did the same thing today. You don't need no degree to say that you're a preacher. You don't need no license to say you're a preacher. Me and my wife, we've been married for 9 years. My kids have been born in wedlock. We were married. We were married by Reverend. My friends and family, they was all there.
Sir, the bottom line is that you have been living in sin because you have not been married with your wife for the last 9 years, and your kids, I hate to say it, your kids are bastards.
Now, hold on now. I done told you. Don't say nothing else about my kids. See, I ain't no cusser, but don't push me. My kids ain't no bastards. You understand me? You don't get me upset.
Sir, I'm trying to give you the truth and try to get you in here and get you married so you will not be living in sin any more than what you are.
I ain't living in no sin. Look, now you gonna make me whoop your ass. You understand? Me and my wife, we have been married for 9 years. Don't sit up here and call me talking about that we ain't married. That man ain't no preacher. You understand? Now get off my phone. What you? That's my wife. Those are my kids. They have been born in wedlock. You understand?
Sir, I just wanted to call and give you the information so that you could probably stop living in sin. That's all I wanted to do.
I ain't living in no sin. That's what I just told you. You ain't hear me? I ain't living in no sin. Maybe you the one that's living up in some sin. Now, you ain't got nothing to say to me. That man has married us 9 years ago. Now, get your ass off my phone.
Sir, I have one more thing I'd like to say
to you,
sir.
You ain't got nothing else to say to me. You ain't get your ass off my damn phone. Now, do you understand me? I ain't got time for this publicity.
Sir, can I say one more thing?
What you got to say to me now?
I just wanted to let you know that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife, Althea, got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, man, now. Oh, Lordy. Doc, yeah. I almost went in on you, Doc. You almost made me go there. Yeah, I'm a good Althea. You say Althea put you up to this?
Althea got me to prank you, man.
Wow, man.
Oh, man. Hey, man, you all right with me, brother? I got to ask you something, man. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, man.
Nah. What? How y'all feel about me?
This was something how y'all else feel about right here.
I keep telling you, one day. Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. Yeah. There are some ministers out there who have not been ordained that are, you know, marrying people, and these people ain't really married. You know how people walk around and really ain't married? Hello? Hey. Y'all gonna quit punching me every day with this.
They getting longer, though.
This is extended whooping.
Yeah. No, it has turned into an ass whooping is what it's turned into.
That's what it's gonna be.
All right, thank you, Neff. Actress Brigitte Nielsen, you guys remember her.
I heard about her.
Yeah, she's pregnant, but guess what? It's her fifth child, and she's 54 years old. Have you seen
Go
her?
On,
she
girl.
Is big, yeah. too. She's really big.
She's matched Stallone, wasn't she?
Well, yeah. She starred in Rocky IV. She starred in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh, the tall blonde girl.
Yes.
That was with Flavor Flav.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I did not understand that.
Yeah. She revealed her baby bump on Instagram. She wrote, the family's getting larger. She posted another photo with the caption, happy time. This is her first child with her husband. He's a 39-year-old Italian. She has four children by three previous relationships. She was, in a relationship with Sylvester Stallone.
And
of course, she
too.
Dated, Mark Gastineau. Mm-hmm. Of course she dated. Flavor Flav.
See, that's when you can't explain something.
Yeah, you can't explain that one.
It's like, what's your type? You got Sylvester Stallone and Flavor Flav. I'm just figuring out, what you doing?
Did he have a clock on when they did?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, boy. All right, we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Cleveland Browns safety Demarius Randle underestimated two things, okay? He underestimated the power of social media, and he estimated the passion of Cleveland fans, okay? All right, he's a big fan. He's a big fan of Golden State star guard Stephon Curry. Randle posted a tweet promising that if the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Warriors in the 2018 NBA Finals, he would buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. That's what he put on social media.
Okay, fool.
Okay, exactly. He underestimated social media. Randle's tweet had been retweeted, get this, 869,000 times, Steve.
He broke now.
He said, honestly, I didn't think it was going to get over 100, and it was a joke, and he will not be buying jerseys, okay? Randle, who he came to the Browns in a March trade from Green Bay, says he is not anti-LeBron. He doesn't want you to think that, and that he's actually a big LeBron fan as well, but when he's going up against Steph, he would just rather Steph win over LeBron.
Well,
so there you go. Yeah.
I can fulfill that order right here in Los Angeles, California. The swap meet on Slauson, you ain't going to be out but $150. You're going to get all them jerseys.
Not the Slauson swap meet, Jay.
This boy, he don't understand. When you come to Cleveland, man, you got to be Cleveland all in.
All in.
We don't do that.
He underestimated
those
fans.
We Cleveland, man. Now, if you want to take your ass back to Green Bay, boy, you don't come to Cleveland with that. Learn this. Forget social media.
Okay, what's the rules,
Cleveland? We see your ass out somewhere.
Okay. Oh.
That's your problem.
You better have these jerseys.
Dog, mine.
I can get them jerseys, but don't wash them.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
Other Cleveland players had advised him
not to do that.
He should not have pressed send on his tweet.
Those are the most dangerous words on your phone.
Send.
Send. It has got more people in trouble. Send.
869,000 times it was retweeted.
Lawson swap me, baby. Wow. We can cover that.
At the first game, boy, he going to see some signs. He need it.
He need to fix his butt off.
He need a do-over, huh?
Because we're trying to win a title here. Uh-huh. Now, I know that Cleveland is the underdogs.
Yeah.
I'm clear about that. But we pulling for Cleveland, though.
Yes,
don't let us win now, okay?
Did you say Cleveland?
That's right.
That's how you say it, sure.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
If it means something, you say it like
Cleveland, Ohio.
You just leave that V off, huh?
If you want to.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that before. Let me
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio.
I thought that's what he said.
Dog, we Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Come up in here now. This Cleveland. You don't know where you at? Okay.
The V is like, hey, what about me?
Like Bron, we leave it off.
No, man, you on the Browns team. Now. You can't, I don't care.
I look,
Steph Curry was on Family Feud this year. You'll see it.
Oh, really?
Okay, coming up this summer.
Steph Curry against Chris Paul's family.
Okay.
I told them they would be in the finals. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. Steph Curry used to go to Chris Paul's camp. They got the same financial managers.
Mm-hmm.
Them boys is tight.
Yeah.
they fathers know each other. They families know each other. They grew up together in North Carolina. I ain't even know that.
Oh, wow.
Dale Curry friends with Chris Paul's daddy. They mamas know each other. Uh-huh. It was really revealing, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care how much you like him. I like him, too. But his ass got to go down.
And you're on the Browns now. Period.
Yeah. Cleveland.
All right, Steve, it's time to catch up on today's national news. Please introduce the lovely one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thanks, guys. Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Well, the state of Florida is in the news again here. Get this. This time for awarding the family of an unarmed black man, a father of three, a mere $4 after he was shot dead by police over a noise complaint. A St. Lucie County deputy fatally shot 30-year-old Gregory Hill Jr. through his garage door after a woman across the street called in a noise complaint. Now, local law there says that a misdemeanor is handed out for a person's third noise complaint, but this is Mr. Hill's first. The cops claimed they shot Hill because he flashed a gun. A weapon was found in his back pocket, but it wasn't loaded. There was no blood on it, which the family's attorney says proved it was never out of his pocket or in his hands. The jury awarded $4 to his family for pain and suffering and then reduced that award to 4 cents. 4 cents. U.S. allies up in arms over President Trump's announcement that he will not extend any exemptions from his new tariffs on aluminum and steel imports. Those tariffs kick in actually in midnight. So now Canada and Mexico are promising to strike back by imposing duties on American stuff. European Union tends to bring its case before the World Trade Organization and respond to the new Trump tariffs with up to $3 billion in hefty fines on U.S. imports by the middle of this month. President Trump, by the way, has issued several pardons, some popular, others not so much. For instance, he did pardon posthumously the first black heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson. That was a pardon many felt was long, 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 long overdue. But the president has also pardoned fiery right-wing commentator Dinesh D'Souza, who pled guilty 4 years ago to violating campaign finance law. He says he's thinking about pardoning Martha Stewart, convicted in 2004 of conspiracy and other charges, and of commuting the 14-year prison sentence given to Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich for corruption. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the news is good. He and his team making progress with the North Koreans over the past few days about that summit that they want to do. Several community and immigrant groups across the country planning a National Day of Action today to protest the treatment of immigrant families by U.S. immigrant authorities. Demonstrations planned for today at noon in New York City, D.C., Los Angeles, Chicago, and some other cities, actually. So that's going to be going on a lot of places. You're going to see that on TV. Organizers say they'll be protesting the breakup of families at the border, as well as the report abuse of immigrant children while in the custody of Border Patrol agents. And today is Don't Give Up the Ship Day. Nice day for a sail. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour. The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Carla, so what is going on with this whole Pusha T and Drake beef? I mean,
and why the hell is I'm in it? I'm the last person need to be in a rap battle.
Exactly. I don't know. It's so much tea for the fans. Okay, mm-hmm. So I don't know if Drake started it or what happened, but Pusha T has basically said that Drake has ghostwriters for his songs.
They've been saying that for years, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then Pusha T released this diss track called Adidon. Mm-hmm. And so in the diss track, he said that Drake had an illegitimate child. So everybody was like, what? Drake mm-hmm. has a kid? You know, nobody had ever heard that before. So then it turns out TMZ is reporting that Drake does have an illegitimate child with a former porn star and that Drake has been paying child support. So people are like, well, dang, is Drake a deadbeat dad? Is that what Pusha T is trying to say? So it turns out that Drake has been paying child support to the mother of this child, but he does want a DNA test to prove the paternity of the child.
So then, but he up on his payments, though. So cool.
I mean, you know, from what the reports are saying,
yeah. If you're not up on your payments, on the next tax return, it'll be reported.
Especially somebody like Drake, they know where to find him.
More importantly, though,
right?
More importantly, do anybody have a picture of the porn star? That's really what I want.
Yes,
that's what you got out of this.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, I'm kind of with Tommy on that.
I want to see what she look like myself.
Yeah, I very rarely agree with that. But then, even if Drake do have a baby with a porn star, he ain't the president.
Right, thank you. Right. There's no Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, he drank.
Sophia Brousseau, that's her name. She's beautiful, yeah. So, okay, so that's
get
that.
The picture, send it to me, Tommy.
Okay, give me the name again, Carl.
Sophia. You're a mess, Tommy.
I know.
Come on, old Sophia home now. Go ahead. What's the last name?
Sophia Brousseau, B-R-U-S-S-A-U-X.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You got an X in your name? I stop typing right now. But I don't ever know where to put an X at in the word. I can promise you, I don't know where to put an X.
Oh, sucking now.
You look good, Tommy?
All he put in was Sophia.
Ooh,
you know how good. I think it's so good.
Or you know how
good. Ain't nobody mad at Drake by nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So 50 them put a picture up. And they so they got a line in there about my suits or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Lil Duval on his Instagram got the same picture up that they put Lil Duval say. Keep the OG out of this.
Coming up next, J. Anthony Brown is going to murder another hit at 34 after the hour.
I've been friends with this one.
Oh, Lord. We're about to lose another friend right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, J is here to murder yet another relationship and hit.
Come on, Jay.
What's happening, Jay?
I hope you're not friends with this person. It's about Roseanne Barr.
Oh,
Check it out on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Everybody races. Here it comes. You just can't say.
You can't say. Yeah.
You use the N-word, you better be black.
Right,
you use a racial slur, they make you take it back. You'll have no sponsors left, jobless in record time.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in slurred lines. Roseanne, she lost the show from making racist statements. Her sister was her boss, she wasn't hesitating. Well, let me educate
you,
cause I'm on such a straight.
Not okay.
You'll be forced on vacation. Work on your black relations, Roseanne.
Sponsors don't want it. Sponsors don't want it. Sponsors don't want it.
Your show they took, girl.
I know this track, it won't make you happy. Roseanne, you're wacky.
Those hateful slur lines.
Sponsors don't want
they
it.
They don't want it.
Sponsors don't want
they
it.
They have.
Sponsors don't want
your
it.
Your show they took, girl.
I know this track, it won't make you happy. Roseanne, you're wacky.
Woo! Woo!
That is just retarded.
Retarded.
I had told you.
Good job, Jay.
All right, Jay.
Yeah.
Good job, Jay Anthony Brown.
I know this track, it won't make you happy. Roseanne, you're wacky.
Roseanne. I know they want it. Sponsors don't want it.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, they fired her with a quickness.
I know. Oh. My heart goes out to the cast and crew, though.
Right?
Yeah.
But let me tell you something else. This little thing that's starting to boil because they're saying that the president of ABC is a black woman.
Uh-huh.
I want you all to understand something. Do not let this take legs because that ain't what this is. When you see Bob Iger, who is the head man of Disney, which owns ABC, when he calls Valerie Jarrett, this came from the top.
Yeah.
Because if it had come from this woman at ABC, she would have made the call to Valerie Jarrett.
Channing
Dungey. This came from way up top, y'all. So this ain't been, do not allow Roseanne to turn this into a racial issue because the woman that's the head of ABC is black. This firing, when you get rid of a top rated show, this was ABC's newest show. When you rid of that type of money, that got to come from some board directors. That's got to come
from
some
people. Other office up there.
Brother.
That elevator, we don't know nothing about it.
That's the flow you can't go on.
Yeah, that you need a card and a key.
And let me say this. Look. We live in a time, man, where a person can lose their job for just about anything almost.
Yeah.
So
one
you
slip
know,
of the tongue.
But what Roseanne had done, she had laid down a track record of insensitive racial remarks.
Yeah, that made a lot of people question why ABC hired her in the first place.
While she was off air. But see, that's not ABC's job, though. ABC's job, they can only hold you accountable when you are under contract from ABC.
For them, yeah.
They can hold you responsible for that. They can't hold you responsible for that, you know, especially if it wasn't an issue. Because if nobody made an uproar about these racial statements before, but like Don Lemon laced them, man, because he showed the national anthem, the Hitler cookies.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And
she called Roseanne, Dr. Susan Rice an ape when she was,
Let me ask you a question. Is Roseanne Barr Jewish?
Yes,
I think she is.
I think so.
Jewish. Yeah, she is. I think she is Jewish, Steve.
Because I think I remember her one time for her child's bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
She bought him a Range Rover, a Jeep. He was 13, couldn't even drive.
I don't know. I think they they're saying the principal actors from the show will still get paid. Well,
what she is out of work. We know that.
What about the crew?
All right. We got to move on here, guys. Coming up next, it's the nephew with the prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Subject, my mind says no, but my body says yes. But right now, it is the nephew. He's here with today's prank phone call. What you got, King of Pranks?
Cake lady.
What?
The cake.
Oh, cake lady.
The cake lady.
Jay? Listen to this right here.
Good, Jay.
I got it here.
Cake, this is Barbara.
I need to ask you, what kind of cakes do y'all make at this place?
Well, sir, we make all occasion cakes. Birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, wedding cakes. Pretty much whatever you need. What you looking for?
Do y'all be making adult cakes?
Yes, sir. A few adult cakes. You know, bachelorette parties and, you know, weddings. What exactly are you looking for, sir?
No. The problem is this right here. I ordered a cake from you all on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be delivered to my daughter's school on Tuesday. And, you know, she in junior high school, 13 years old. The cake was supposed to have Hannah Montana on it. And it was supposed to say, happy birthday. Now, the cake get delivered over there today. And I can't for the life of me believe that this has happened. We in her classroom. All the classmates is in there. Some teachers in there. The principal then came down. We finna have cake and ice cream for the kids. But when they open up the cake, it's a man's private part on the cake.
What? Oh, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No. We have never made a mistake like that.
Y'all made that mistake. Today. I've been calling this place all damn day. Y'all done made this damn mistake, and somebody gonna pay for this.
I got 13-year-old kid. Sir. No, you're gonna have to lower it down now, okay? Because we can't get nothing settled if you yelling and I can't hear you, okay?
I need to lower it down. You should have lowered that private part off that cake. That's what you should, sir.
Sir, what is your name?
My name is Trevor.
And now, where was the cake supposed to be going?
Middle school.
Middle school. Now, when was it delivered, sir?
I just don't see that's it right there. You can't remember. That's how y'all made the damn mistake.
Sir, please just answer the question so we can get this settled, sir.
No, what? Who is the owner there?
Excuse me, I am the owner. My name is Barbara. Now, if you give me the information, I'll try to make this thing right because it couldn't have been my company. Are you absolutely sure, sir?
I'm positive. Y'all is the ones that delivered the damn cake. Listen, I got all these 13-year-old kids in there traumatized, and the teachers and the principal are looking at me crazy.
I understand, sir, but I need to calm down just for a minute. Let me ask you this.
Wait. You want me to calm down? You should have took that private part down off the cake.
I can understand, but I don't think it was my company, okay, because we've never made a mistake like that. Now, we're very careful with that kind of stuff. Now, sir, hold on 1 minute. Come here. Do you know anything about a cake delivery, a Hannah Montana cake, going to middle school today? Yeah, did y'all make any deliveries? Okay, thanks. Sir, I just talked to my driver, and he's been with me about 8 years, sir, and we've never had a problem like this. He's never delivered a cake over there, sir. Are you sure it was my company?
Damn show this place, lady. It's this right. Your driver lying.
You know, mistakes can be made, but I cannot.
You can't make no mistake like that when you got a man's private part in front of a bunch of 13-year-old kids at a junior high.
I can understand. I would be upset too. I have children too, so I can understand what you're trying to say. But sir, what I'm trying to tell you is, this is not my company you're talking about. We wouldn't have done anything like that. I've been in business for 13 years.
What is your name?
My name is Barbara.
Okay, so you're the one behind all of this on this damn cake. It's supposed to be Hannah Montana and wind up being a man's private part on the cake?
Sir, come on. Stop and think about this.
You know, you'll think
we
about
would not deliver a cake to a high school, an adult cake to a school. Now, I understand you upset.
Listen,
I really
lady, do you understand what has happened at my daughter's school?
I apologize for it, sir, but I don't believe that you ordered the cake from my company. Okay? As a matter of fact, we make cakes on Friday, sir. Wasn't no cake delivered today. Sir, it's a Tuesday.
And what the hell? That means it's a Tuesday. Ain't nobody eating cake on Tuesday?
Sir, I have told you that that couldn't have happened here at my company.
Okay?
Okay,
let me tell you.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll be happy to make a cake for you, sir, and to send it to your daughter. But, sir, it wasn't my company. That
I don't want no more damn cakes. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I'm finna to do, lady. I'm finna call my lawyer. I'm finna get with the police. And I'm coming over there to shut that down. You won't sell a cupcake when I get through with your...
Oh, sir, you know what? Now, you done gone too far. Let me tell you something. This is my business that I done worked for 13 years to build. You ain't finna come up in here and do a
I'm finna shut that down.
You come up
I'm
here and you find more icing up your Your mammy won't even know who you are. You need to get off my phone with this. That's some ignorant in the first place, sir. How dare you call me with that? And what the is your name?
I already told you my name is Trevor.
Well, that... Trevor, bring your up here and I got something for you. Bring your and the police. Do you think I'm going to let some little like you come jeopardize my business? I've been in business too long. I know what the I'm doing. Now, I don't know who the you call, but it will show not my company. Do you understand me?
I understand everything you're saying, and I understand when I get over there, I'm going to shut it down, me and the police.
You won't come out here and get your shut down, and you're going to have a daughter crying over your now, I done told you it wasn't my company. Now, get off my phone. Do you hear me?
I got one more thing I need to say to you, lady.
It's thing to tell me talking about shutting down my company.
Yes, I got one more thing. Is you listening to me?
I ain't listening. What you got to say to me?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend.
That oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, yes. I gotta get off this phone. Oh my God. I'm a killer. I'm a killer. Bye. Hello? Oh my God. Oh my God. Please tell me I'm not on the radio.
No.
Oh, geez.
You ain't on the radio now, but you're gonna be on there in the morning.
Oh Lord, no, no. My preacher and everybody else gonna be on it. Oh my God. I'm gonna kill that. I'm gonna kill it. I'm gonna get me a cake and go to her job and up. Lord, oh Lord, y'all gonna get somebody up playing like that, you know? She gonna have to look out every day. She ain't gonna never where it's coming from. I'm gonna be like the thief in the night on her.
Miss Barbara, I gotta ask you one more thing. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show. Y'all what?
Hey, can you make a socket to me cake?
Yeah, I can make a socket to your cake, but you better hope it ain't got a gun in it. Y'all don't mess around, get around messing with somebody like that. They business now.
Oh my God.
I think
you
any
come on,
day
give
now.
It to me. Give it to me.
It was good.
It was good.
Oh, it was good.
Good.
Oh, you can prank your
behind.
Yeah, you can prank your behind off. We're not questioning that.
Okay. Just want to make sure I get my accolades. That's all. Yes.
Yeah, the door.
Oh. Hey, I didn't even get the door open.
Wow.
I ain't gonna be taking all these ass whoopings either.
Oh, well, I think you are.
Oh, yeah, you're gonna take them.
This is where you're wrong, partner.
Yeah, they're getting longer.
You need to get a bodyguard, I think.
Yeah. You be sitting in the corner going,
my uncle told me.
Get his draw.
Tommy, but you're not afraid, though?
No, he's not afraid at all.
No, yeah. I'm in the pranking business, Shirley. I got to keep up with it. I got to do it.
When you get your ass whooping, your shirt is all twisted.
Hey.
Because they were pulling and he was trying to run.
You know, you have to look at it. Like,
your zipper be.
What, Steve?
Get your ass whooping, your zipper be in the back. You just standing there peeing on that.
Get your ass whooping, you missing a shoe. Hey, yeah. Hey.
You know, look at it like this.
What?
Firemen get up, they fight fire.
Uh-huh.
I get up and I prank people. I'm a prank. Yeah. Some jobs
gonna be
are dangerous.
You're going to be standing somewhere with half a sock on.
All right. Thank you, nephew. Right, yeah. Strawberry Letter coming up next. My mind says no, but my body says yes right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Right now, it is time for today's Strawberry Letter, ladies and gentlemen. And if you need advice on relationships, on dating, on work, on sex, on parenting, and more, submit your letter, please, your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Tell him Steve Harvey.
Uh-huh. Woo!
Ooh, that was fake.
Yes, I'm that talking was about. So not into it.
Oh, I'm not soliciting for no letters. Y'all want to write us? Come on. If you don't, whatever.
All right, let's
got
go now.
Got plenty of drama here in my own life I'm trying to solve.
You need to write a letter, Steve.
Or my damn kids quit calling me.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. Strawberry letter.
Thank you, Neff. Subject, my mind says no, but my body says yes. Dear Stephen Shirley, I am in desperate need of advice. I am a 30-year-old female, and I am still a virgin. I grew up in the church, and I was taught to wait until marriage before sharing that part of myself. Somebody want to get that?
Really? That's her calling.
Yeah, somebody want to get that? I believe that if I did, the Lord would send me a husband. But now, here I am, 30 years old, still single, and wondering if I am just being naive. All of my friends who started having sex in their teenage years are all married. I'm starting to think that they did things the right way. I've dated a lot of guys, but whenever things get physical, I would pump the brakes. Am I crazy to believe that there's a man out there that will wait for me till marriage? Maybe I should start having sex and just follow your 90-day rule. She's talking about you, Steve. I have a friend that used your 90-day rule, and now she's engaged. With all of the sexy pictures and videos and social media, the pressure is on me to have sex. I honestly don't know if I can wait any longer. My mind is telling me no, but my body is saying yes. I feel like
Ain't
I'm
that
on
some
an
R. Kelly music.
I feel like I'm on an island by myself, and I'll never get a man this way. Mr. Harvey, I know you are good at giving advice and love and sex, so can you give me some guidance? Should I do it or not? I just got to tell you, first of all, congratulations on still being a virgin at 30 years old. I mean, in these days and times, that is really unheard of. It really is. The crazy part is, if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible and everything and what it says, you are the one that's right. I mean, you know, we got to tell it like it is. The Bible teaches that sex should be between a husband and a wife. So, no, you're not being naive. You're doing what's morally and biblically sound, and oftentimes you will be on an island by yourself because most people, yes, are getting it in. They are on a regular basis, daily basis, all the time. So you feel like you should jump in because everybody else is doing it. You feel that pressure. But, you know, that's not a good enough reason, you know, if you're a Christian. You got to stick up for your principles and what you believe in. Don't let the world change who you are. You got to believe in God. You got to trust him. And you got to wait on him. Steve?
Well, this is a really, really hard letter to advise because I have conflicting views here, to be honest with you. She's in desperate need. She's 30 years old. She's still a virgin. Grew up in the church. Taught to wait before marriage, before sharing that part of myself. And she believed she did, God would send her husband. Well, she's 30 years old now. All her friends who started having sex in their teenage years are married. I'm starting to think they did the right thing. Am I crazy to believe that there's a man out there that will wait for me till marriage? All right, let's start addressing some of these things. All my friends are having sex in their teenage years. They all married. It can work. it can backfire. As Shirley said, technically, you're doing it the correct way. It's just that we don't live in a correct world. And so we all succumb to worldly things from time to time. We are all born as sinners. It's what we do. All of us. And so we are all guilty of it. So who am I to tell you to stop doing it the right way and do it like everybody else? Am I crazy to believe that there's a man out there that will wait for me to marriage? God can send you anything. But the average man is not. Period. It's really funny because last week I did a show before the season ended for my talk show. I did a show where I had half audience single men, half audience single women. I set them in a split. So the women were on one side. This one girl that I was trying to really help, the attractive year old, 28-year-old black girl, really attractive girl, took care of herself. She was looking for a man. So the guy I wanted to introduce her to was on one of my dating shows. Turns out that this guy was bisexual. So that wasn't going to work. And the way we found out was in a really shocking way, right? So she's not interested in dating a guy that's bi, right? So I had another guy in mind. So when I had the women stand up to say what they were looking for, like if they had a woman would stand up and I would say, do you want a man who has kids? She'll say, less than two kids. Anybody with more than two kids can sit down. You know, we were eliminating in that way. You follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So then I said, what's the other requirement? This woman said, standing up in front of an audience full of half men, I will not have sex with a man until I'm married. So if you're wanting sex, you can sit down.
Let me sit my ass on down.
You weren't there.
I'm sure every man over there sat down.
I believe it. Wow. I believe it. I
and she went, oh, my God, are you guys serious? And I went, lady, hold on. You cannot meet a man day one and tell this man you're not having no sex. You can't drop that information on a man until you all have been dating for a minute.
Right.
There's some heavy interest going on. The petting done got to a point where they starting to rub and touch some stuff. Then you got to break it to him then. He's already got to feel something for you. You can't go day one. I'm looking for a man that don't want to have sex. Cause who that? Who is that man that don't want to have sex?
Right.
And that's what she said. If you want to have sex, you can sit down now. The whole room sat down. She was disgusted with him. And I told her, I said, sister, you went about this the wrong way. So are you crazy to think that believe that a man will wait for you until marriage? No, you're not crazy, but a lot of men are not. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Then you said, maybe I should start having sex and just follow your 90-day rule. The reason I did the 90-day rule is because most people are not going to not have sex.
Right.
So at least let me give you a little bit of room to find out more about the man before you give yourself to him so you can stop some of the major disappointments after 2 weeks. I'll finish up my response.
All right.
Right after this.
Yeah. We're going to have part two.
Pretty much going to be the same.
We're going to have part two of Steve's response.
Which is going to be just like part two.
Coming up at 23 after the hour. Be quiet, Tommy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's go with part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter. The subject, my mind says no, but my body says yes. Let's recap. Be quiet, Tommy.
30-year-old woman, still a virgin, thinking maybe she should start having sex because all her girlfriends had sex and they married now. Am I crazy to believe that there's a man out there who will wait for me to marry? No, you're not crazy, but he's going to have to be in love with you first. That's my opinion. Maybe I should start having sex and just follow your 90-day rule. I put the 90-day rule in place so women could stop having sex with men on the first, second, third date night and then find out later on the stuff that you could have known had you took a little bit of time to do your homework. It's just a protective rule.
Yeah, some women thought that was too long.
Yeah. Now, with all the sexy pictures and videos on social media, the pressure of me to have sex, The pressure's on me to have sex, that's true. I honestly don't know if I could wait any longer. My mind is telling me no, but my body is saying yes. Well, little girl, let me share something with you. My body has been saying yes for 61 years.
Oh,
now, I just want to tell you
things
something.
With her. That's all he's sharing stuff.
Yeah. So she don't seem like she the only one. Uh-huh. This little girl honestly don't know if she can wait any longer. Her mind is telling her no, but her body is saying yes. Now, little girl, I would love to tell you to hold out and stay strong. And if it's about your faith, then you should. Is it going to be difficult? Yes, it is. My mind.
I'm saying.
My mind is telling me no, but my body.
Screaming, yeah.
We don't really want to sing.
Sing it.
Yeah, that's
sing
right.
It. Sing it.
I can sing.
Take it to the top again. Take it to the top again, Steve. One more time. One more time, man.
Shut up, Jay.
Sing one more time, man.
I said my mind keeps telling me no, but my body, yeah.
Stupid.
Oh, yes. Come on.
You know when your body's talking, too. You can tell.
Your body just speaks loud. Hey, did you
so
see
are
that?
Are you helping this young lady?
No, I'm not right now.
You're singing Kales. That's all I'm hearing right
now. No, I'm not. I don't know what to tell this little girl. She's 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Listen.
What, Tommy?
It's time to make a decision.
Here's the deal. You got to follow your heart.
Yeah. Yes, right, Steve.
You got to do what's best in your heart. I cannot tell you to stop doing the way you're doing it, because that may not be the answer. If you've trusted God this far, the only way to see what God got for you and get to the end results is you got to see it through. Mm-hmm. Now, if you switch courses right now, that may not be what God wants you to do. You're in a tough position. It's so hard. You know, I wrote this book, but also let's just be honest. Jay, would you wait?
Hell no.
Tommy,
you asked me.
You know not to ask me nothing. That's crazy. Why would you ask me something? You know that.
You're asking men, Steve.
Crazy. I can't wait, and I ain't got nobody. I can't wait.
I'm about to get naked soon. We can do this show. How much time we got for this? We off.
And like you said, it's hard to meet a man that's really willing to wait when you first say that out the gate. And you say that out the gate, it's like, okay,
yeah,
you know, I don't need me getting into this because this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I promise you, once you start, you're not going to stop.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
But Steve is telling her right to follow her heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's her decision. Yeah. She has to follow her heart. And do the
My heart didn't lie to me so many damn times. Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
I don't know. It's a tough letter, man. I don't really know what to say to her. I feel for her. You know, I tried waiting.
Oh, my God. I tried waiting. You know.
Yeah.
I put so much money in waiting, and it just don't work out.
What do you mean it's so much money?
Well, you put money in waiting. You just not going to hang around and not spend no money. There's dinners, there's movies, there's rent. You buy couches and stuff like that.
Couches!
Blinds, sending kids school money. It's a lot of money. We ain't done a damn thing yet.
And waiting?
And I'm still waiting? No. No.
No.
Somebody need to tell me something. You need to get somebody down here to tell me something.
And I'm waiting on somebody that ain't never done it before. What? You don't even know what you're doing.
Be in here talking. I'm sorry.
So you're supposed to be the sensible one.
These
two fools right here. Let me
I'm
going to
wait,
here.
But we're going to be mashing up against each other real strong.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with mashing.
That, Tommy, I've actually done that. I've actually cut myself on the back of my zipper.
Too much information.
Your clothes gonna be real wrinkled.
Yeah.
You can count all the change in my pocket. I
was grinding so hard one time, I cut myself on the inside stitching of the jeans. That's how hard I was grinding.
They used to call me Mr. Coffee because I grind so fine. I mean,
yeah.
Big Brother Folgers.
Here come Mr. Folgers.
Yeah. I had one time, man. I'm telling you one time, man, when I was
you
young, man.
You overshare, Steve. Uh-uh. You oversharing now.
We helping people, Carla.
I've actually ripped a pair of pants. It just broke out.
And tore the stitches off.
Tore right out the pair. Well, what's up?
What are we going to do about this?
Yeah. It's been an ugly situation for me. Yeah.
We're going to have to do something.
We're going to have to do something. We got no answer.
All right, Steve, we got to go. We got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's strawberry letter at My Girl Shirley. And thank you, everyone, who joined me yesterday for Facebook Live, the Strawberry Letter Live after show. We're getting more viewers and everything. I appreciate that, guys. All right, coming up next, Lisa Borders, the president of the WNBA. She's going to be here to talk to us about exciting things that are happening this season.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Listen, everybody, we got a special guest this morning. This is really good. This woman right here has been known for just her really, really stellar leadership qualities. She served prior as the president of the Atlanta City Council and VP of Global Community Affairs at the Coca-Cola Company. Well, she's taking on a new leadership role. This is going to be fun today, y'all. She is the president of the Women's National Basketball Association, the WNBA.
All right, all right.
The WNBA is in its 22nd season. It's the longest running women's pro league. So we're going to find out about this season, the exciting new stuff they got planned. What we're just going to talk to her. Please welcome to the show the president of the WNBA. Please welcome Miss Lisa Borders.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Girl
good
power.
Morning, so good to be with all of you all on the air here.
Good. Lisa, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Blessed. No complaints. Delighted really? To be with you.
Really? Well, let's talk about this because the WNBA season opener was this past weekend in Las Vegas. Tell us what we can expect from the squad this season because this is a new team, isn't it?
That's right. There are 12 teams altogether, but this is the inaugural season for the Las Vegas Aces. This is our newest team, and it features the number one draft pick from this year. Her name is Asia Wilson from the University of South Carolina. And see, listen, this girl is so bad. They are erecting a statue of her at the University of South Carolina. Never been done, male or female
Asia.
Athlete at the collegiate level.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Go, Asia.
Wow. And she has an amazing group around her. The number one draft pick from last year is on this team, Kelsey Plum. The number two draft pick from UConn, Mariah Jefferson, is on this team. Kayla McBride, who is an ice-cold three-point shooter, is on this team, sharpshooter. These are some bad girls, Steve. They can hoop. You hear me? They can hoop. They're playing at Mandalay Bay this year.
Wow. You know, I watch the WNBA because I tell you what, it really is good basketball.
Yeah.
It's really, really some good basketball. And them girls can ball. See, now, if you watch an NBA, you used to this high-flying act and all like this. Yeah, and that's great. But if you go out there against them girls, you're gonna get your draws
okay,
tore
careful,
off.
Careful.
No, I'm just telling you right now. You go out there and mess with them girls if you want to. Thinking you got game, they going to hand you your damn lunch. Them girls out there, man, they play it. Go ahead.
You are right, Steve. The game is a solid product on the floor. They are collaborative. Everybody touches the rock. Nobody is ball hungry. Everybody wants to make sure the team wins. So they are really good with the fundamentals. In fact, I think Draymond Green, the center from Golden State, once said in a Sports Illustrated article, when he wants to sharpen his fundamentals, he watches the women. He watches their feet. He watches their hands. He watches how they communicate on the court. It's really pretty incredible. We invite everybody to come, if they can, to see a game in arena. But if not, you know, we are rolling on ESPN and we are streaming live on Twitter.
So,
okay. Do you have anybody that we can use on the Rockets? Please, we need help. Any one of these girls.
Rockets don't need no damn help, fool. They was in the NBA Finals in the West. Let me talk to this lady. So, talk to us about this. Talk to me about the app and the streaming capabilities for a second.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we did a deal with Twitter, Steve, last year, and we were the first women's pro league to stream live on Twitter. One of our players, Jewel Lloyd, who is just extraordinary, she dropped 27 points just the other night. She trains with Kobe a lot. That's his little sister. Jewel said to me, Lisa, while I was playing in China, I saw the Super Bowl streaming on Twitter. I think we should stream on Twitter. We were already running our games on ESPN, but she said, you know, the younger folks really want a mobile option. They want to be able to go places and still watch the game as opposed to only sitting down watching it for 2 hours in your bed. So we went to Twitter and said, what do you think? We have this young group of women, elite athletes, 144 of some of the best athletes in the world. This is a very sound game that they're playing, and they play it extremely well. How about we stream some of these games? Let's just take a shot at this. They said, sure, we'll try it. They streamed 20 games last year, Steve, and on average, we were looking at 613,000 viewers from all across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pretty amazing. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of players like Skylar Diggins, who plays on the Dallas Wings. She's a Notre Dame graduate. She has 1 million Twitter followers. Whenever Skylar is playing, the averages are over 1 million because Skylar turns on her network. So this has really given us an opportunity to put a stake in the ground and say that we are working hand in glove with social media, not just to tweet or retweet or filter something on Snapchat. We are literally creating content and distributing the content on the Twitter platform on social media. It's really helped us with our fans across the globe.
These girls in some of these skill sets like three-point shooting and free throw shooting and, you know, stuff like that, you could do some co-ed stuff, man, that could really show how bad these girls really are. Because if you put them out at that three-point line, them girls right there be dropping their ball in that hole. I'd be going, man, if I had that girl's jumper, I'd still be playing. I could still get out here.
You know what, Steve? We accept your invitation. You have an open seat at the WNBA table anytime you want to come.
Well,
whether it's to watch a game or talk to us about marketing or talk to us about creating an even broader footprint for our fan base. We are all in. You let us know when you're ready.
Lisa Borders, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. And come back on. Let's talk about the WNBA from time to time.
Absolutely. Happy to do it, Steve. Thanks to you and all your crew. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, guys, this Saturday, June 2nd, we want to make this announcement. If you're in the Dallas metro area, we want you to join our family member, Junior. Junior is having his 5K run and fun walk, and this is benefiting Junior's foundation. It's called Kier's Hope Foundation, working to change the shape
Go ahead,
of
boy.
Sickle cell.
Junior,
yeah,
boy.
Right.
Do it, man.
Yeah, Junior is giving back. He's doing his big charity walk tomorrow in Dallas. That's Saturday, June 2nd at Margaret Hunt Hill Trinity River Trail. So now the pre-registration starts at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Junior and the crew, everyone is going to start walking or running, whatever, whichever one you want to do, at 7 a.m. Saturday morning in Dallas. You know we got to beat that heat. So go to kearshope.org for more information. That's kearshope.org for more information. Yes, Tommy.
Let me say this to all the people on my Facebook who have upset me. Kier will be there. There's nothing
Junior.
Wrong with him. Thank you.
Yeah, he will be
We're
there.
We're putting up bad information.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Man. And some of them is my relatives just saying the wrong thing. Put my boy whole face up there. Rest in peace, Kier. Kier ain't gone.
Kier's here. He'll be there tomorrow.
Damn.
And
Man.
I'm going to send Kier some money to support his foundation.
Right.
And
Kier's
I'm gonna do a half a K.
Okay.
You gonna walk half a K?
Half a K. That's all I'm doing is half
big
a K.
Lazy ass.
So half a 1K? Is it
half
1K?
Half a,
that's down the street and back. What are you doing?
Look, I'm helping out with money and I'm going to do a half a K. Half okay. of a K. Oh. I can't we'll do a whole donation. K. I can't yeah, okay. do a whole K.
Okay, wow. well, do what you can. Do what you can.
This boy here, man. This boy here.
And Steve, if people missed it earlier in the week, we talked about this. Junior is off for a while. He lost one of his assistants. Yeah,
he
assistant.
Lost his assistant.
Best friend, his and best his friend.
Who was his best friend and yes. his roommate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kia lost him. Yeah. Brother named Brian Cook. Outstanding. Mm-hmm.
Good brother, man.
He is a good
He was not a member
man.
Of the morning show or the talk show. He worked strictly for Kia. Mm-hmm. The people who are suffering the loss is his parents,
his
relatives, his brothers. Mm-hmm. He had brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. His sister and father had to come down here to meet with the coroner. You know, it's just in Atlanta, it was a horrible situation to have to go through for his family. I really, really hate that the media has turned this into something else because they try to get eyeballs on their story. Steve Harvey's employee, they did a story, man, that really hurt me, man, because they did some graphic stuff describing him in the hotel room, and it was so unfair. I think people fail to realize that he was the son of a mother and a father that are still living, that have to grapple with this loss. And it's unfair, man, when social media grabs stuff just so they can get likes and views and uses a tragedy like this. I mean, why put my picture up on it at all? Because you're trying to draw eyeballs? And no, man, what the concern should be on the family
yeah,
and
praying
Junior.
Praying for the family. Yeah,
Junior's often. Devastated, man.
Man,
yeah, this was
but
his
that's,
friend.
That's what the
yeah.
problem is, you know? Nobody's devastated, but ain't nobody hurting like that mother and father and them brothers yeah. and sisters.
His
ain't
family,
nobody
Brian's
hurting
family.
Like them. And well, I don't want it to turn into that. It's just that's what it is. The brother passed in his sleep. It was natural causes.
No. Wasn't on drugs. He wasn't
yeah,
drunk.
Wasn't
none
no overdue.
Right.
Wasn't none of that.
None of that.
And that's what makes it even more alarming because, man, just out of nowhere. And so we praying for our brother and his, and also Brian Cook's family, Mr. and Ms. Cook, and his brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces. And Kier, man, he's taking it really, really rough because he found him.
Right.
He found his best friend. That's hard to do. I mean, so I've seen it, and he asked me how to handle it. But you can't advise people on grief.
No, you can't.
Because grief is an individual thing. There is no manual for this. It makes everybody different. You're going to cry when you think it's over. It's going to be something happen, and it's just, you know, I just wish everybody would just, you know, just be respectful of the family. That's all I want to say. All right, on a happier note, how about this? Hello?
I'm here. What you got?
You got something here. For us?
Can I have your attention, please?
Come on now.
I have a special announcement. There we go. Sand and Soul Festival.
Yes.
It's fast approaching, you all. And we have a few rooms left. We had some rooms open up, so I'm putting them back out on the market. So here we go. You can come to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino and the Riu Republica Resort in the lovely Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, August 30th to September 3rd. Only Sand and Soul guests are allowed on the resort. So there will be nobody else on the resort except us. So if you get to stay at the Riu, which is right next door, you get all of their amenities over there, and you come over here and get all of these amenities. It's all inclusive. All your food and alcohol. 24-hour room service, all included. Jacuzzis and balconies in every room. 13 swimming pools. 11 restaurants. 23 bars and lounges. You get a $750 resort credit. You get 18-hole Jack Nicklaus golf course. That's where I'll be. And the largest casino in the Caribbean. All inclusive. Food, alcohol, 24-hour room service. Leave your wallets at home. Rooms available online only. Just go to SteveHarveySandAndSoul.com right now. If you're at your desk, just go check it out, y'all. Go to SteveHarveySandAndSoul.com. Check it out. The whole lineup is there. The comedy show, the Apollo night. Marjorie's doing a beauty seminar. We got to act like a success masterclass. Cigars and cognac. We got all-white party.
Wait,
we got Kim.
Right there. Huh? Slow down, boy.
Slow down.
Cigars and cognac.
You got to tell us more when we come back. You got
to
run
sorry.
This down.
I'm trying to rush. I'm bad.
No, don't rush. Take your time,
okay,
baby.
I'm sorry.
Can't tell how many times I heard that.
We'll be back at 20 after. I can't stand him.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve. Sand and soul. Tell everybody what's going on. What's
you
happening?
Steve Harvey, sand and soul.
Yeah. Recap.
I'm going to get to that, but let's do this here. Everybody right now online, just go check it out. We done opened up some rooms because we moved some stuff around, so we got some more rooms available at the Ryu, which is right next door, but which allows you access to everything at our resort, too. So you get both resorts. So you can come on over and have a good time. Here's the deal, y'all. August 30th to September 3rd. Listen to this. Steve Harvey, sandandsoul.com. Go right now. Check it out. Come on down here with us. We gonna be balling. Now listen to me. My wife, we're gonna be throwing a beauty bar. Yes. I'm gonna be throwing a success class. We got Showtime at the Apollo. I'm going to host that. We got a comedy show, Earthquake, Kia, Precious, all that. We got a 70s party, the one and only Frank Ski coming. All-white party hosted by Cheryl Underwood. Players Ball hosted by Dougie Fresh. We got the welcome party hosted by Biz Markie. You understand? Performing. We got an all-white concert. We got Kim performing. We got, you heard me, Jazz and Cocktails on the Beach featuring a live band, Cigars and Yak.
Come on here, boy.
Keyword, yak.
Yak. Yakety yak.
Cigars and Cognac rolled on site.
That's nice.
August 30th, September 3rd. All the information is at Steve Harvey. Sand and Soul. Steve Harvey, sandandsoul.com. We've opened up some rooms. It's all inclusive. Leave your wallets at home. You ain't got to pull. You got a $750 resort credit.
Nice.
Like that. You got all of a room service is free.
24 hours.
24-hour room service free.
Damn.
Yeah.
13 swimming pools.
Wow. 13?
Yeah.
I'm going
to just rope one of them off for me.
That sounds like you.
Yeah, I swear I'll do something like that.
That sounds like something you do.
Yeah, I just wrote one off for me. I just be over there just by my damn self.
Nice. I can't wait.
You want to throw a thong party or something? What you want?
Yes.
Can't get in unless you got on a bikini thong.
Thong.
How you want to do?
And we're not going by sizes. Don't care what size you are. Put your thong on and come on.
You got to be careful. Because it's going to be see people that actually really won't be a thong, but once they put it on.
The thong is gone.
Yeah. Thong is gone.
Is that a song?
The thong is gone.
The thong is gone.
The thrill is gone.
All you see is that patch of fabric at the top of their butt. It's an entry point, and that's it.
Y'all play too much. Yes.
Then the rest of that fabric is just gone.
Can you have the thong party? The thong party, Steve. I love it.
No,
I love
Jay,
it. I love it.
No.
And you better be there, Carla.
Oh, buddy.
No, I'm gonna go play some golf, man, and
Yeah, that's relaxing.
Look out the window a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Got me a nice ocean view.
Just relaxing. Relaxing.
And that's what everybody needs to do when they come to Sand and Soul. We just gonna relax.
Get away from your kids and your relatives and man. Shoot.
Yeah, you deserve it.
You work hard.
I'm hustling.
Let me take a picture of your money, Steve. Let me get a picture of your money.
All right,
we
let's
gotta
go to break.
Yep, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Cleveland Browns safety Demarius Randle underestimated two things, okay? He underestimated the power of social media and he estimated the passion of Cleveland
what
fans.
Do,
okay. All right. He's a big fan. He's a big fan of Golden State star guard Stephen Curry. Randall posted a tweet promising that if the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Warriors in the 2018 NBA Finals, he would buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. That's what he put on social media.
Okay, fool.
Okay, exactly. He underestimated social media. Randall's tweet had been retweeted, get this, 869,000 times, Steve.
He broke now.
He said, honestly, I didn't think it was going to get over 100, and it was a joke, and he will not be buying jerseys, okay? Randall, who he came to the Browns in a March trade from Green Bay, says he is not anti-LeBron. He doesn't want you to think that, and that he's actually a big LeBron fan as well, but when he's going up against Steph, he would just rather Steph win over LeBron. Well, so there you go. Go. Yeah.
I can fulfill that order right here in Los Angeles, California. The swap meet on Slauson. You ain't going to be out but $150. You're going to get all them jerseys.
Not the Slauson swap meet, Jay.
This boy, he don't understand. When you come to Cleveland, man, you got to be Cleveland all in.
All in.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
He underestimated those fans.
We Cleveland, man. Just, now, if you want to take your ass back to Green Bay, boy, you don't come to Cleveland with that. Learn this. Forget social media.
Okay, what's the rules, Cleveland?
When we see your ass out somewhere.
Okay. Oh.
That's your problem.
You better have these jerseys.
Dog, mine.
I can get them jerseys, but don't wash them.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
Other Cleveland players had advised him
not to do that.
He should not have pressed send on his tweet.
Those are the most dangerous words on your phone.
Yeah, send.
Send.
Mm-hmm.
Send. Ooh, it has got more people in trouble. Send.
869,000 times it was retweeted.
Lost and swap me, baby. Wow. We can cover that.
At the first game, boy, he going to see some signs. He need it.
He need to fix play his butt off.
He need a do-over, huh?
Because, dog, because we trying to win a title here.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know that Cleveland is the underdogs.
Yeah.
I'm clear about that. But we pulling for Cleveland, though.
Yes,
don't let us win now, okay?
Did you say Cleveland?
That's right.
That's how you say it, sure.
That's how you say it.
If it means something, you say it like
Cleveland, Ohio.
You just leave that V off, huh?
If you want to.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that before. Let me
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland,
Ohio.
I thought that's what he said.
Dog, we Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Come up in here now. This Cleveland. You don't know where you at? Okay.
The V is like, hey, what about me?
Like Bron, we leave it off.
No, man. You on the Browns team. You can't.
Yeah,
I don't care. I
look.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was on Family Feud this year. You'll see it.
Oh, really?
Okay, coming up this summer.
Steph Curry against Chris Paul's family.
Okay.
I told them they would be in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it. Steph Curry used to go to Chris Paul's camp. They got the same financial managers.
Mm-hmm.
Them boys is tight.
Yeah.
They fathers know each other. They families know each other. They grew up together in North Carolina. I ain't even know that.
All right, Steve, coming up, our last break of the day, and of course, your fabulous closing remarks. We will be back at 49 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, last break of the day. And here's our fearless leader to take us home with closing remarks.
I guess in the light of so many tragic things happening, there are people who are grieving this week. There's our president making another wrong statement on the wrong side of an issue, complaining that Bob Iger didn't call him to apologize, as if calling Valerie Jarrett was, how could you do that and you don't call and apologize to me? With everything that's going on in this world, It's so much going on, you know, and social media don't let nothing die. It just goes on and on and on. I just want to remind people, you got to stay focused, man. You got to stay focused on where you're going. Even in your loss, even in grieving,
you're still here. I have lost some incredibly important people in my life. I'm sure those of you listening can say the exact same thing, that you have lost some incredibly important people in your life. And I can tell you flat out, it was never a good time losing these people. It never seemed right to me at all. I never could wrap my mind around the loss of my mother. I did not understand the loss of my father. I did not understand the loss of my big brother. I did not understand the loss of my best friend. And I'm sure so many of you can say the same thing. But I was sitting there at my mother's funeral, and the minister said something really important. He said, I want you to know something. And the five of us were sitting there looking at our mother. And he said, I know y'all hurting. I could see it in your face. And we were all on the front row. He said, but I want you to turn around and look at how packed this church is. And me and my brothers and sisters at my mom's funeral, we turned around and we looked, and the church was jam-packed. I didn't even realize. Then he made the announcement. He said, I want you all to know that the overflow room is completely full too. And that there are people standing on the steps outside and in front of the church. They came to honor your mother. My mother was a Sunday school teacher for 40 years. And I mean, man, everybody was at my mama's funeral. Politicians, but I'm talking about hustlers, gangsters, pimps, dope boys. Everybody my mama had taught as a Sunday school teacher who tried to save them. They all came and made a statement of how your mama tried to save us, man. And I was sitting there in my darkest moment, and the preacher said something that was really profound. He said, I know y'all crying right now and you heavy, but I want you to think of all the good things your mother did. I want you all to think of all the joy, all the things she taught you. And I want you to look at the sides of the crowd of this church that looks like an Easter Sunday in here now, because they come to pay homage to your mom. He said, now, think of those good things, because when you do, and I noticed, man, that my spirit started lightening a bit, that I wasn't as dark, man, because I started thinking, I was like, man, there's a lot of people in here, man. My mama touched a lot of people. And he told me something. He said, joy and depression cannot reside in the same space. Joy and depression cannot reside in the same space. That was my greatest takeaway at my mother's funeral. So when you lose a loved one, and I know it's hard, think of all the good times. Think of the smiles and the laughs and the moments and the memories, and remember that time when he, remember that time when she, boy, you remember that time we was over here and they did this and they did that. And let that smile come over your face. Because even though they gone, the one great takeaway you can have is you still here. Oh, now you might miss that person, but you don't miss them so much that you want to go with them now. So you got to still get the takeaway that you're still here. And what can you learn from the demise of your loved one, of your friend, of your coworker? What can you learn? That life is fragile. That life has an unsurety about it. That you should start living your life to its fullest. That you should take advantage of things. That you should be a little bit more grateful. That you should stop and smell the roses along the way. That you should take some time out to tell somebody that you love how much you love them. That you should take the time to say thank you. And maybe you should write a note. Maybe holler at somebody you ain't talked to in a while. Maybe you need to mend a relationship that's been kind of broken over the years before you mess around and the next time you see them, they in a box. Then it's too late to say, man, I should have got with you. Or, I'm sorry, I wish we had been closer. I forgave a friend, an old friend at my mother's funeral who had done me so dirty. Whatever he had done to me that I thought was so dirty, it was nothing
like sitting up there looking at my mom in that casket, man. So you learn a lot in grieving and in death. Just remember that God kept you here, and they passed through your life for a certain point and for a special reason. Keep that in your heart. Keep smiling. Keep living. Those are my closing remarks.
Grief.
Y'all have a great weekend. Y'all will. Yes. I work.
Aww, it's right.
Aww.
Hey,
we will.
Turn your volume up if you're with me, please. Oh, yeah, I'll be in the mall.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.